Peter B. Collins, News and Comment. November 6, 2012. It's Election Day in America.
It's always the same. It's always in vain. The truth were only known. The words had only shown. The lies and deception, they move in one direction. And then
yes, we are underway with what passes for a democratic process in the United States these days, fueled by $6 billion in political spending, much of it designed to block people from voting, or those who do will be misinformed, disinformed, or just flat out deceived by political expression that goes well beyond the bounds of our First Amendment. And the corporate money that has flowed in such huge amounts this year, often hard to trace, is the underlying factor that shifts this to a government for the rich, by the rich, of the rich. Item one, here in California, we are finally getting a handle on the secret $11 million contribution, the largest anonymous contribution to a ballot measure in California's history, that was made on October 15th. And the money was put into two efforts, one to defeat the governor's tax proposal, Proposition 30, and the other to pass Prop 32, which would prevent unions from any significant participation in politics here in California. And let me just cut to the chase. The money was laundered through three different organizations before it hit California. So, in fact, four organizations were used to disguise the origins of the money. And when you get back to stage one, it's a group linked to the Koch brothers, the Center to Protect Patients' Rights, and also the group called Americans for Job Security. Now, Americans for Job Security is where it's believed this money started, in Alexandria, Virginia. Then it was sent to Phoenix and put through the laundromat with lots of Tide and extra Clorox, I guess. There it went to the Center to Protect Patients' Rights, who then donated the same $11 million to Americans for Responsible Leadership, who then passed it to the Small Business Action Committee in Sacramento, who poured the money into the ballot measure campaigns against Proposition 30 and for Proposition 32. And the affiliation with the Koch brothers is still not fully proven. But Americans for Job Security is a Virginia nonprofit, and they process dark money. In the past, they have been in cahoots with Americans for Prosperity, which is the Koch brothers' operation that helps support the Tea Party and has done a lot of other dastardly deeds. And we only found this out late on the night before the election. Half of Californians vote by mail. Many of them had already filled out their ballots. Would it materially have changed their votes? I don't know. But this non-disclosure, this lack of transparency, this brazen money laundering is very common in our system now. And so much money is pouring in. For example, the ballot measures, there are 11 of them, up for voters' consideration here in California. Only a handful of people have funded these 11 measures. These are facts here from maplight.org. The top 20 funders gave 69% of all ballot measure funding. The top 10 funders gave 58% of all funding. The top four individuals provided a third of the money, $128 million. And 47 funders giving $1 million or more made up 80% of all the funds raised. Now, to be fair, the teachers union threw in $32 million, service employees $22 million, and then we get to Americans for Responsible Leadership, their $11 million anonymous contribution. But Monsanto is in for $8 million. Millionaire Thomas Steyer, I think he's actually a billionaire, but he put in $30 million to pass a measure that I voted for, which would even up the playing field and tax non-California corporations appropriately. But the two top donors who put in $70 million are the heirs to the Berkshire Hathaway fortune of Charles Munger. Molly Munger put $44 million in to pass a ballot measure to fund education, and her half-brother Charles, who is a physicist at Stanford, ponied up $36.5 million. So this is not an initiative process that is for the people, by the people, of the people. It's a rich man's game, and the unions are barely keeping up. And if Prop 32 passes, then they will be sidelined in a very significant way. Now, I saw the effects of this while I was watching Jeopardy last night. I finally maxed out on all the political pundits and the polls and the predictions, and I turned on Jeopardy for a little diversion. And in one of their commercial breaks, back to back, were three different commercials, all hammering Obama. The first one was a woman saying, well, I voted for him in 08, but I can't do it again. That was followed, and I don't know who funded that. It went by too fast. But it wasn't from a campaign. It was an independent expenditure. The second 30-second commercial was from American Crossroads, Karl Rove's group. And it showed a woman who was jogging with her baby. And it was the same exact message. I voted for him before. I can't do it again. Then came an actual commercial from the Romney for President Campaign Incorporated. And it was entirely an attack ad on Barack Obama. Now, I don't know that they were able to buy this television time in a way that caused those commercials to come up in that sequence. But the barrage effect of it was very clear. And, you know, when you run a commercial on Jeopardy, you're aiming at what we call low-information voters. So this was a last-minute barrage. Was it coordinated? Maybe, maybe not. But by virtue of pouring so much money into television advertising, in some states, all of the commercials during Jeopardy are political spots, most of them funded by these outside groups that do not disclose where their money comes from. This is corruption greater than we have ever seen, and the evidence is right before us. At bradblog.com, my friend Brad Friedman is doing his usual excellent job working around the clock to update you on various things, and I'll just give you a couple of headlines from the Brad blog today. And he gave a detailed explication of the substitution of new software code at the very last minute, last Thursday and Friday, in 39 of Ohio's 88 counties, encompassing more than 4 million voters in Ohio. And Bob Fetrakis, a stalwart who's been fighting these issues in the state capital, Columbus, reported on Facebook just a few minutes ago, and I'm speaking to you just about 2 o'clock Pacific time here on Election Day, that he went to court to challenge the Secretary of State's decision to substitute this experimental, uncertified software, and the judge said, I can't interfere in an election that's underway. And so he reserved judgment until after the election, but some important professional testimony was put on the record, and we'll see where all that goes. Brad also has video that you can find at his website that was shot by a voter in Pennsylvania who watched repeatedly as he touched the screen in the circle for President Obama, and the machine reflected a vote for Romney. And there are examples cited by Republicans of electronic vote flipping in the other direction. But over the course of the last 12 years, we've seen that most of the chicanery does favor Republicans. So here's a quote from the video. I initially selected Obama, but Romney was highlighted. I assumed it was being picky, so I deselected Romney and tried Obama again, this time more carefully, still got Romney. Being a software developer, I immediately went into troubleshoot mode. I first thought the calibration was off and tried selecting Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, to actually highlight Obama. Nope, Jill Stein was selected just fine. Next, I deselected her and started at the top of Romney's name and started tapping very closely together to find, you know, the active area on the screen. From the top of Romney's button down to the bottom of the checkbox beside Obama's name was all active for Romney. So this is just a cautionary note, and these kinds of things will occur, and many people will not even detect it because they thought they pushed it, they figure the machine will get it right, and they don't give it a second thought. Now, in Texas, Brad reports that True the Vote, which is this Republican-oriented group that calls itself a Tea Party offshoot, they have been attacking NAACP volunteers in Houston because they handed out water to voters who were lined up at their polling place. Now, I voted about 8:30 this morning at my polling place here in Marin County, California, and it was pretty busy. There were about 15 voters there, about five election workers. But there was no line. As people were being processed in, people completed, and there were plenty of polling stations. And I realized that, you know, I live in a well-to-do suburb. But there is no excuse for any voter in this country to have to wait in line for any significant period. And we're getting reports from Mark Crispin Miller that in New York City, on the Upper West Side, which, you know, had its power restored first, that there are lines out the door and that people are leaving in disgust. Now, it's early enough in the day that maybe they will return, but we don't know. And this sorry state of affairs in this country is something that Democrats should have fought to fix. And because they, in my opinion, Obama exceeded the margin of graft in 2008, Democrats have relaxed their guard and should have been pushing to seriously fix these problems over the last few years. And instead, they sat on their hands, and this is what we get. Meanwhile, another issue in Ohio highlighted by Steve Horn, our friend and a great young journalist from DSmog blog. In Mansfield, Ohio, which has been a center of hydraulic fracturing, the fracking process to extract more natural gas, there is a citizens' initiative which is called the Community Bill of Rights, and it attempts to ban further fracking in the Mansfield area, where they have had 12 earthquakes, mostly due to these injection wells. At least that's what the scientists say. So local people are rising up, and this appears to be a mostly symbolic measure, because if it got to the courts, we know that the federal government, due to Dick Cheney's work, has essentially preemptive powers over local regulation of natural gas drilling. But it is a very interesting approach. And now Steve Horn reports that the industry has launched an 11th-hour AstroTurf campaign to win hearts and minds of voters who are still on the fence. There's a new group called Mansfielders for Jobs, and it has surfaced at the last minute here. They haven't filed any campaign spending reports with the County Board of Elections, and they are running advertising and also organizing voters around a jobs issue to try to distract people from the environmental damage. And Mansfielders for Jobs has distributed a flyer that lists no contact address, no campaign treasurer. That's a violation of the law. And the group Energy Citizens, which appears to be one of the sponsors of this effort, is, according to Steve Horn, a front group of the American Petroleum Institute, and a public relations campaign dreamed up by Edelman, which is a well-known corporate PR firm that's worked for Big Tobacco and many others. So you can read more about it. I'll put up the link to the DSmog blog, and you can see what Steve Horn reports there in Ohio. And I wanted to take a moment to expose a group that I tried very hard to get an interview with, and it's called the Catholic Association. And you can find their website, which provides sketchy info about them, at thecatholicassociation.com or .org. And I started getting their press releases by email several months ago, and I would read them and say, okay, this is just another right-wing Catholic group that is playing politics. But then they issued on November 2nd their it's a voter card, a voter guide. And it is so one-sided and so loaded with false information about the phony war on religious freedom in this country that I got intrigued. And so I asked for an interview through their PR firm with Ashley McGuire, who is described as a senior fellow on the website. And she is a young mom based in Washington, D.C., according to her bio. She did a fellowship at the Claremont Institute, and she also runs a blog of her own called Alt Catholica, with an H on the end. And I've read a little bit over there. It's a pretty conservative Catholic dogma. Well, the senior fellow that's pictured right above her is named Maureen Ferguson. She is married to former Congressman Mike Ferguson, an arch-conservative from New Jersey with a 100% right-to-life voting record. And Maureen herself, it says, was a leader of a right-to-life organization. So I requested an interview with either one, and the PR guy first said yes and set up a time, and then Hurricane Sandy blew through. And Ferguson is in New Jersey, so she has a reasonable excuse. But McGuire lives in Washington, D.C. And I was given a date and time and her phone number when we could do the interview last week. Then it was abruptly postponed, and I asked to reschedule it day after day, and ultimately it didn't happen. So I invite you to take a look at the Catholic Association. There is no board of directors. I looked at the website GuideStar, where all nonprofits display their tax returns. They do not show as a nonprofit. And so I'm left to question who they are and who is funding this effort. Is it a political move by the Roman Catholic bishops in this country? And are they taking their tax-exempt status and putting it behind candidate politics, because that is really wrong and probably illegal under most campaign laws? And are they adopting the Koch brothers' tactics of creating a dark organization where the funding is not disclosed? And they put these pro-life moms out there into friendly media because they must have picked up that I wasn't going to be too friendly to their cause. I realize that when, you know, you tell a stranger that I do a podcast, that that stranger can look me up. And so I don't know why they backed out of my requested interview. But what I wanted to do was say, look, you have this obsession that is shared by the discredited Catholic bishops who have run a criminal enterprise covering up for pedophilia. And I tallied up the damage. Do you know that the Roman Catholic Church in this country has paid out $3 billion in damages over the last 40 years over sex crimes committed by priests and that were routinely covered up by their superiors, including the guy who is now the Pope? Yes. Cardinal Ratzinger, who was the top Vatican official in 1985, refused to remove a priest from the Diocese of Oakland, California, who was repeatedly accused of inappropriate sexual behavior. And his own bishop was begging the Vatican to remove this man. And Cardinal Ratzinger said, well, no, let's pray on it. Let's take a little time. And so this is something that really burns me as a recovering Catholic, is to see these groups pretend to speak for all Catholics when they represent a severe minority. And they are spouting the line of the Catholic bishops, whom I've said are discredited. And those bishops are trying to get the government to ban contraception, to stop payment for contraception, in order to get Catholic women to stop using contraception, which they have been unable to do. And when you look up Maureen Ferguson and her husband Mike, you see them linked to Bill Bennett, to the man named Donahue who made a fortune on Domino's Pizza and funds a lot of ultra-right Catholic activities. And they are doing the same kind of thing, it appears, as the Koch brothers and other major players. Meanwhile, in Arizona, where Jeff Flake is running for the Senate seat vacated by Sieg Heil Kyle, he's been accused of funding robocalls that give voters the wrong address for their precinct. And it appears to be only aimed at Democrats. And I don't know about you, but I don't listen to robocalls. I get a few. And I actually did a commercial for a local candidate here in California last week where we positioned her as the one who wasn't making robocalls. But this idea of telling people you don't need to vote until Wednesday, you can vote by phone, or, you know, here's your polling place and it's false information, that is so, you know, anti-democratic and just downright cynical. Plus, it's illegal. But they know that the most that'll happen is a fine, a slap on the wrist, and you grab a 6-year Senate term. Nobody remembers what happened during your last campaign. One of the things coming out of Arizona is one of the strictest laws limiting midterm abortions in this country. They wanted to set back the clock and say that after 20 weeks of pregnancy, you cannot have an abortion. That law was heard before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals here in San Francisco on Monday. And the report by a good journalist who covers legal affairs, Bob Egelko of the San Francisco Chronicle, says that the arguments seem to indicate that this law will be overturned and then could be ripe for the Supreme Court to review later. But Judge Andrew Kleinfeld, who is a staunch opponent of abortion, says, well, it looks to me as though the Supreme Court has spoken and said that these kinds of restrictions are unconstitutional. We'll follow that as it likely will be heard by all those Catholics on the U.S. Supreme Court. And finally, Athens, Greece is the scene of a 2-day set of protests, dissent, and a national strike. They are protesting the next round of austerity, that is expected to be voted on in the Greek Parliament on Wednesday. And I support those who are speaking out. It may be our turn very soon in this country. Tomorrow, we'll record and release an in-depth interview with one of my favorite people, David K. Johnston. He won a Pulitzer when he worked for the New York Times. His new book is called The Fine Print, and it is an amazing set of stories about the way you and I are fleeced on a regular basis, how corporate interests and rich people can pay less taxes and shift the burden to us, often in hidden fees on our phone bills, our utility bills. And David K. Johnston is the first who has been able to explain the concept of stranded costs, which is a bizarre term used by utilities as they double bill us and get ratepayers to pay for taxes that they in turn don't pay, and they often pocket that money. That's coming up tomorrow here at peterbcollins.com. And finally, this evening, if you happen to be in the San Francisco Bay Area or anywhere and you want to watch me on local TV, I will be anchoring local coverage here in Marin County of our election results starting at 7:30 Pacific. And I'll put a link up to the live stream in the show file that accompanies this podcast at peterbcollins.com. Thanks for listening. Your comments are always welcome. Humble host at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. an